Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. As you know, today is Tuesday, and this is where we do the show from the altar to the couch. And today's topic is one of those topics that a lot of times many of us may have never even heard of the term, and I know my pastor kept preaching about it and mentioning it and saying it. I kind of thought, okay, are you talking to me or who are you talking to? But it was one of those things that even when I was telling my daughter about the topic of the show, she said, I know this applies to me. And not only individually, you know, there's a saying that when you throw up a rock at a pack of wolves, the one that hollers the one you hit. But by that same token, with this topic that we're going to be discussing today, it has to do with lazy Christians. Now, are you basically on fire for the Lord? And are you taking care of God's business? Are you so consumed with the world till when it comes to your relationship with God, you are on empty? Believers, many have a misconception when it comes to being an active Christian. And I want to say for myself, when I thought the word lazy came to my mind or was told to me, I thought of many different types of laziness, many different forms of laziness, and nothing came to my mind when it came to being church lazy or a lazy Christian. But yet today we have so many lazy Christians. Many would say, I attend church every Sunday, I feed the poor, I pay my tithes, and these are just to name a few of some of the comments that I've heard. So what does it mean to be a lazy Christian? And like I said, not only being lazy, can it be that one could be so busy but yet still be a lazy Christian? We're going to examine that question. Now, it looks like Pastor's on the line, so let me log him on without further ado. But today we're going to be talking about becoming aware and acknowledging and breaking bad habits. Life is too short to be lazy. So let me log on to Pastor. Welcome. How are you doing? Can you hear me? Okay, Pastor. It looks like you own, but I cannot hear you. Can you hear me? I don't know if it's my iPad. Looks like it ain't my iPad. Uh-oh, the call dropped. Hopefully he will call back because I just missed his call. So hopefully he'll join us back on the air. Now, if you want to join in on the call, let me see. He's calling back in. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Very well. Had to go back in, but it's a good day. Looking forward to the show. And how are you doing?
You know what? I'm supposed to be inside of a training today, and I just snuck out just now. I'm doing a culturally diversity leadership. I missed the first training, so the second training. So Dr. Lisa Romaine is with me. She's going to tell me, because she's going to be obedient. She's going to tell me, well, I'm not coming out till 12 o'clock. I said, well, I'm sneaking out now. So we're in Coronado right now. And we're doing it. We're getting all this information. I learn fast, so I'll catch on to what they're talking about when I go back in. And by that time, it'll be lunchtime. We're good. So we have a caller on the line, so let me log this caller on, too, and then I'm going to have you start with what we're going to be talking about. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney and Pastor Dennis Stell. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. Who, shall I say, is joining us right now?
Nick McNeil.
Hello, Mr. Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. That's
okay. Okay, Pastor, let's get started with the show because I can't talk much sitting in this hot car.
Right. Well, today our show is dealing on laziness as a believer or the believer of God and having to overcome laziness. And so we want to talk about living an abundant life, actually, and how the believer can, through the Holy Spirit, overcome laziness and other enemies of our mind, of our attitude that keeps us from aspiring to our blessing. So obviously in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's plenty of scriptures that the Lord talks about being negligent or being sluggish or being sluggards. And then in the New Testament as well, there's many parables and examples that Jesus gives about us not being lazy. And so we want to mostly get into the minds of the believers that once we become saved is not the time for us to relax and think that we've made it. Once we become saved and become a part of the kingdom of God, the Lord wants us to be busy. The Lord wants us to use our gifts. The Lord wants us to know in mind for us to understand and to find out, and I'm going to use the word, to fully comprehend our purpose and to work that thing. And then just as it says in the Pauline epistles, that he has talked to stir up the gifts. And so we want to talk about that because there's a difference between diligence and being lazy. Okay, diligence and laziness are, you know, a total contrast between each other. And so God wants the believer to be an example for the world. And then we have the enhancing power of the Holy Spirit to empower us to go beyond what we believe that we can do. And I want to express this so much because the believer should not be expecting God to just hand them something. They should not just be expecting other members in the church to do things for them. And so stick to that for an opening statement. But we are going to talk about it from the perspective of maturity, in the aspect of spiritual growth, in the aspect of prayer, in the aspect of daily living as a Christian, and then also, as Paul put it when he talks about, you know, moving from a nepios to a huios to a technon, as we go to different levels from being a babe, a child, and then a son of God, how we have to use our gifts and work and strive towards those things. And then we want to end up with the rewards of being diligent, the rewards of moving forward in God and accomplishing great things, how we're awarded here in our life on earth, how we're awarded, how God provides a blessing for our lineage because of it, our seed that's still coming, and then also our heavenly rewards as well.
Pastor, this line blowing up, and I'm sitting here looking at my little iPad like, okay. Now, I'm going to add these callers to the call so that they, I'm quite sure they have some questions.
Yeah.
We talk about being lazy, so we try to make sure that anybody lazy, if they listening, they watching, or, you know, whatever they're doing. Now, what defines a lazy Christian? And like I said, when I think of the word lazy, several forms of laziness came to my mind. Yet as Christians, many lack the work that need to be done, which is why this topic is so important. Now, many are unaware. Some are defiant. Some are disobedient. And like you said, many want the blessing.
Yes.
So, somebody got me on FaceTime, and I can hear it. Because I know that ain't me. Okay, so let me move on to the first caller. I can hear it.
Okay.
They're on Facebook Live. So, okay, they just hung up. So let me start logging on these callers to this phone. Like I said, it's blowing up. I don't know what's real and what's not. Let me see. Okay, last number ended in 9737. Welcome to the radio show. How are you doing?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, phone number ended in 9737. You have any questions?
Yeah, I think that's me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I wonder if you could be of assistance. I'm here with two pastors from our local parish. They've been visited by the Holy Spirit, and they're very, very deep in it right now. They've been this way for a few days. They've been speaking in tongues. I don't know if there's any way you can translate what they're saying, but we're just a little concerned about them, and we're having a heck of a time understanding what they're trying to tell us.
Well,
I
would say at this point that we are not at the situation. I don't know the conditions to be able to access that right now.
Right. I'm just going to put one of them on. One second, just to help you out.
Beth, I'm going to hang that up. That ain't going well. I can see where that's going. Okay, let me add on the other one because that's on a control call. So, like we know, the devil is listening, so that's fine. So he can figure that one out himself, talking in tongues. So, okay, last numbers ending in 6132. Welcome to Pricey Predicaments. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. Let me log on, Pastor. This number got a whole bunch of ones on here. So I don't know what this is, but let me see. Make sure it's not another prank caller. Let's see. Hi, this is Pricey Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Okay, I guess they don't want to say anything right now, but I know it's had to be a block number. Okay, Pastor.
Okay.
Like I said, well, we were talking about defining laziness, and I put this stuff out, and Lord, it took me almost 3 hours because my radio stuff was just a hot mess this morning. I'm waking up in the hotel room, and I'm on trying to get this stuff on. The stuff wasn't working, so I wasn't being lazy. It just didn't want to cooperate. And I found this little thing, it had Garfield, and it had, I can, but I won't. Now, a lot of times we talk about church folks. We know that people can do better. And I always say, when we know better, we will do better. But a lot of times some people think, well, if I go to church, I show up every Sunday, but they sit in there and they're taking up space, they're taking up time, but like you said, they're not using their talents, they're not using their gifts, they haven't even defined their purpose. What is it, or what would you say as a pastor that will identify what's considered a lazy Christian?
Well, a lazy Christian is a believer who is not trying to aspire to their purpose. That's in the simplest of definition. A believer that wants to rest on the laurels of Jesus, because salvation, you know, we can't buy that. Christ gave that to us. And when we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, we are saved. But once we become saved, as I stated in my introduction, that is just the beginning. And so there is a hunger that should be on the believer. And much of that comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so a lazy believer will quench that spirit. A carnal believer is one that is not seeking, as it says in Colossians, the things that are on high. And so in order to get everything that God has for us, to aspire to the level, to reach the purpose that Christ has us at, and all these things ultimately leads to a happy believer, we have to put in our part. And so I'm going to say that it first starts with having a mind to study. God tells us in our word, in the Bible, it says to study to show yourself approved. Now, you mentioned that someone thinks that if they just show up for church, that's it. No, there's a process in waking up. You know, when we wake up, we're actively thinking about the Lord, having our mind on Christ. We're putting in time of devotion daily. We're opening our Bible. We're reading so that when the pastor does preach, when the teacher does teach, we can get a greater understanding of the lesson. God wants us to not only just to look at our Bibles or just to read along with the pastor or the teacher or to just look in the Bible when the instruction is going forth. He wants us to study. And study means to comprehend. And to comprehend means for the believer applying their mind, their soul, and the Holy Spirit to take in the Word of God and let the Lord infuse in them the true meaning and concept of what he's trying to bring about, so they have a correct definition or be in a correct context of what the scripture is saying them at that time. And so, in other words, you have to put something in to get something out. And so a lot of believers think, again, it goes back to, you know, that magic potion, you know, God's just going to bless me because I've saved. God's just going to bless me just because I show up. And there is an aspect of a blessing to that, but that's not going to be enough to carry you over. That's not going to be enough to get you to the next level. That's not going to be enough to get you, you know, to breakthrough. We have a lot of challenges. And the Bible tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And then the Lord says, I come that you may have life and that more abundantly. And those people that are killed, that are stealed, that the devil steals from, and that the devil destroys their purpose, are lazy believers. Because the Lord, the Lord tells us how to guard against the thief in His Word. The Lord tells us how to guard against, you know, how to protect ourselves in the Word. The Lord tells us how to fortify ourselves for the attack of the enemies. We read that in the Pauline epistles as well. And so a lazy believer, we're talking about that definition, is one that holds the Bible but doesn't know the Bible. Okay? A lazy Christian is one that can quote a scripture but doesn't understand the fundamental meaning of that scripture. Okay? A lazy believer is one, as you said, that goes to church but doesn't understand the meaning of church, doesn't understand why they're there. A lot of people are there, they just show up, it's a social gathering, they think they can check something off their box and they're ready to go. A lazy Christian is one that doesn't fast and doesn't understand the meaning of fasting. A lazy Christian is the one that doesn't take the time to pray and understand how we progress in prayer, okay, and we go to different levels in prayer. A lazy believer doesn't understand how to seek the Lord on different levels and how the Lord can take us from 30-fold, 60-fold to 100-fold, and they don't understand the meaning of that. And so they don't understand the working of the Holy Spirit. And what God does is that He says that if you take one step to Him, He's going to take one step to you. And what that means is that when you begin to show your desire to be eager and to show an ebullience for the Lord, God is going to match that drive and that ambition and that ebullience. And then as you begin to be more proficient, I'm going to use that word, proficient, in this Christian walk, now you begin to see how powerful you are and how you can quote scriptures and how you can command some things and how you can use, learn how to use the Holy Spirit to your advantage to bless you, to bless your family members, and to bless your church. And so all those things are important to the believer, but here's an important part. They are not, even though they are germane, they do not come through osmosis. So you can't hang around a learned Christian and everything is just going to siphon off over on you. You can't, you know, look at your Bible every day and through osmosis, the Word of God is going to magically funnel itself into your brain. We have to put a little work into this, and with just that little work, you know, God will fortify it and take us beyond what we ever imagined for ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, and so, those are some of the things that the Lord tells us. Not only that, He gives a lot of examples in scriptures for the believer, how He compares it to the ant, and how He compares it to the oxen, and how they work, and how they prepare, and how they gather, and how people are making provisions for the harvest. There's a lot of good writings in the Proverbs for the believer, and I'm going to call out some of these scriptures later on, but I wanted to just give that definition of how, from a pastor's perspective, of how what we would deem a lazy Christian.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Pastor, because
let
I look at it.
Let me know
when
we have a question break.
Okay,
yes.
You can ask the question right now. You can answer.
Okay.
Question.
I'd like to know. You're telling us all the things that you need to do to be a good Christian. I think that's what you're saying. And for 3 years, I could check off all those blocks. But where I come down to it, I do not know, and I do not understand, and I do not understand or know how to pray. What does that make me?
Yes. Well, what I would say to that in regards to that is that praying is the believer having communication and having relationship with God. And so when a believer prays, that is them talking to the Lord, okay? Jesus gives us instructions on how to pray, okay, in the New Testament. And it's important for the believer to understand that. And so what I would tell you right now is that, and you stand for 3 years, I would first want to ask, are you part of a church?
Yes. I checked out all those boxes, Reverend. So, yeah, I belong to a church. I go to Sunday school. I attend church regularly. I work with a mission. I go to Bible study.
All right.
Okay.
So you're familiar with Matthew 6, 5 through 15, how the Lord.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I would have you write that down.
I'm writing it down.
Jesus. Yes, Jesus teaching on prayer.
No, just give me the scripture.
Matthew 6. Okay.
Got it.
And then
Matthew
verses.
Matthew 6.
Verses 15. So, given instruction on how to pray. He speaks in prayer. Okay. And he's telling us how we are to prepare, how we are to coach, how we are to recognize God the Father, the kingdom. Okay?
Okay. I'll just read the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
And you know what?
I want to say this,
Pastor, because I know you keep skipping. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or what, but you're talking, it keeps skipping. And I want to say that I know I had that same issue years ago, and I remember telling a pastor, one of my friends, she was a pastor, and she would always give me books, and I got tired of reading. To this day, I still don't like reading. But by that same token, I told her that I don't know how to pray. And it was I had to learn how to have conversation, how to talk. You know, a lot of times we're afraid to ask for something because we're afraid to be told no. And prayer is that conversation of saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, and you go into this dialogue and you engage in a conversation, and that is prayer. When you're praying for healing, you're praying for whatever it is you want or what you want God, and you stand on his word. Now, Nick, the pastor is telling you to go to a scripture which talks about prayer, but it's how you engage in a conversation. When you go to the store, you ask
what
somebody.
Was that scripture? I didn't hear that scripture. I hear Matthew 6. And that's it.
Yeah, Matthew 6, 5 through 15.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
What's most important, though, is you're having a conversation with the Lord, but it's also you having faith and you believing that when you go to the Lord and when you come to him in prayer, that he is able to do what you're asking him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you in prayer, because the Bible even tells us we know not what to even ask for in prayer. But what I also want to let him know is that his statement was he's been praying for 3 years. What is it that you've been praying for and that you think that the Lord is not hearing?
I'm praying for understanding. And understand the word. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I've been looking for practically all my life. And I think I'm on to something, but it's not coming.
Okay. So you are applying yourself. You are reading the word of God. You are studying, and you are studying under a pastor.
Yes.
Okay. And are you asking them questions?
Yes, just like I'm asking you. Yes.
Okay, I know you're not, and they're giving you answers to your questions. And when they give you the answers, are you learning the information?
Just like you did. Yes.
Okay. So what you're doing, sir? You are applying yourself. You're not lazy. You are learning because you are. What might be the issue is that people learn at different levels of veracity, and some people learn faster than others, and then it depends. Yes, sir. And it depends on the season, too. And so what happens is we pray more when we're going through situations, when we're going through trials and tribulations, and we're dealing with circumstances. And some of the things that we're praying for the Lord to do is part of our trial. So oftentimes people don't understand when they're asking for understanding, when they're asking for patience, then God will put them in predicaments and in situations mm-hmm. that will teach you understanding and will teach you patience. And those things will put you in a position as a believer to pray more. And what we see and what we find on the other side is that we have been doing those things. And we have been praying, and we have been communicating with the Lord, and we are going through our steps, and we are closer and closer each day to our blessing and to our miracle.
Yeah. But, you know, Pastor, I want to say some things that's coming to my mind. One is many of us can read but yet comprehend. And a lot of times when we talk about the Bible, it's the interpretation. And sometimes we may not get it to where other people get it. And there's also roadblocks when we talk about communication. And I know from a therapeutic perspective, when you're communicating with someone, we have those roadblocks. And when we're talking about prayer, when we think we're asking God for something, they say God may not come when we want him, but he's always on time. And then also discerning and having a gift of discernment. And a lot of times people get that confused because we wonder how people are more mature and how they grow, but it has a lot to do with also their spiritual development. Now, I want to also, as we're talking about the laziness, is forming habits and forming healthy habits that are performance-based, which creates lazy-minded spirits and lack integrity in maintaining spiritual discipline, which is some of the things you're talking about, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, fasting. Now, I don't like the fasting part, but I got to get better with that because I got to get this weight off of me. But when we talk about these habits, part of the laziness is sometimes people can show up and they sit there even in school and they just don't get it. So you got to digest it in smaller increments.
Right. So that's what we talked about in regards to comprehension. The issue that we have now is the misuse of technology. And so people want a scripture, so they Google it real quick and just throw it out at somebody. But learn how to, like we used to. When we were coming up, we did Bible drills. You had to learn the Old Testament from the New Testament. You learned where all the scriptures were, and you learned who wrote that particular book of the Bible and why. Mm-hmm. And then we went through each scriptures. And so with that foundation, and that was work, okay? And along with that work came an understanding and a comprehension. And that puts you in a place to now where you can teach other people. But that doesn't come from you know, being lazy. You have to apply yourself. And I want to use that word. And so God honors our ability to apply ourselves. I'm going to put it that way. God honors the work that you're putting into learning about him, being a stronger Christian, being a more enhanced and enabled Christian, and he honors that, and he will bless you because of it. And so in regards to the question, again, that the gentleman stated, is that now keep doing what you're doing is what I have to advise him, because that's what diligence means. Some of us, you know, will stop when we don't see results, not understanding that you are seeing results. Because if you're still here, you know, there's a power that's kept you here. With the enemy chasing you, with so much that's going on in the world, your prayers are keeping you, they're sustaining you. And then what they do with more knowledge, you begin to launch and move to the next level. But don't let that put you in a place where you relax and where you stop praying. Keep on seeking the Lord, all right? And God will elevate you to another level.
And you know, Pastor, I can even think of some of the things my mother used to tell me or say. She would quote from the Bible, and I didn't understand it. She would tell me, keep living, keep living. And she's been deceased for 10 years, and now it finally makes sense. So I understand it. Now, laziness, and like I said, we're talking about habits, But also, laziness is what you call a spiritual sin. And a lot of individuals don't know that because we think if we're doing this and we're busy taking care of that, it's okay. But even though laziness is one of those pet sins, we keep it around because it's so harmless. Even though people joke about, we think about laziness as being napping all day, being late. But there are things that really characterize our lives. And when we're choosing comfort over discipline, discipline might sound scary, but it simply means teaching ourselves to do things that are hard. And a lot of times we start talking about, I know like this morning when Lisa and I woke up, I'm trying to get ready for the show. She's reading the Bible on her phone. And she like, and I'm asking her questions. She's like, wait a minute, I'm reading the Bible. So I had to give her that time while I'm sitting there trying to, you know, get the show together. But she's disciplined. She's far more disciplined. And that's one of the things that we have to do is we have to get to that point where we start transforming the power of God and trying to interpret things and stop being so lazy. Now, I said, laziness comes in a lot of forms. We talked about some of that. But, Pastor, how can we talk about overcoming some of those laziness habits and tapping to our purpose? Because we know that laziness is easy. We choose it. But what can we do to overcome it?
Well, that's what we were – I mean, I would answer that by saying desiring an overcoming life. And for people to desire those things, it'll make you work for them. I mean, there's hundreds of scriptures on laziness, why not to be lazy and what it does for you. It kills your soul. It makes you sleep. It takes away time. You know, in Ephesians and Proverbs and Psalms, we have a lot of it. Yeah. In addition to being, you know, a sin, as you talked about, slothfulness, you know, Jesus calls lazy people wicked people, okay? And he also says that being lazy makes you a slave. He says that in the book of Matthew. Both of those things come from Matthew. So for the believer, you know, to overcome those things, again, we have to understand it. You have to want an overcoming life. And that comes from listening to the Holy Spirit. Complacency is not a part of being a Christian. And complacency will lead to laziness and lead to sluggardness. Anything that you want, you are going to have to work for it. Okay? And the Bible gives us, you know, very powerful decision. In Proverbs 13:4, he says, the soul of the sluggard craves nothing and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. And what that means is that it's made full of blessings. And so what happens, God gives us a desire. He gives all of us a desire. Some of us have desires for careers. Some of us have desires for property. Some of us have desires, to promote our ideas and our wishes that God has given us. And along with those desires come ambition. And what they are just dreams, okay? And those dreams have to be made into reality. And what God's saying is that I have wired you. I have given you gifts. I have given you the blueprint. It's in your mind to go and make these things happen now. Shake off all of these traits. Shake off all these traits and things that will limit you, okay? And then stir up the gifts now, Timothy, all right, that will prosper you. And so what happens is they used to tell us coming up, 99 and a half won't do. And what happens is that some people will do some of these things, but not all of the things that they need to do to move ahead. Some people will take on what we call them in business, and you're in business too, Jeanette, we call them best practices. Okay, and these things are important for the believer to understand. Now, when we take best practices and now apply the term spiritual principles to them, they are better than best practices because not only do they enable us, all right, in our natural bodies, but they also enable us in the spiritual realm as well. And so what we can't do in the natural, we can now do in the natural and the spiritual as we apply ourselves. And the only way we become better at these things is by applying ourselves. And then what we do now is that we make these things habits now. We make positive traits habits. We make positive lifestyle preferences habits. And what we do by those things is we become more like Jesus. That's important for us to understand. Okay? In Hebrews 6 and 12, he says, so that you would not be sluggish, okay, but imitators of those through faith and patience will inherit the promise. And what he means by that is when he says, you know, find the good man and mock him. When you see other believers that are aspiring and that are doing great things in God, ask them what those traits that they're doing and imitate them. And, but not just do it. It says to imitate them through, here's two positive things, two positive words, through faith and through patience. Some things we will see an immediate response to, and we see the reward and we're blessed. And some things are going to take patience for us to inherit the promise. But one thing for sure is that God is not slack concerning his promises. They are going to come to hand, long as we are not negligent and long as we remain diligent. The Bible even says to us that if we stay diligent, okay, God will make us rich. And and that excites me. Okay?
And you know, Pastor, and when we talk about that, patience is one of the things that many of us lack, even though we talk about laziness. And I'm looking at some information, and it talks about a practical step. It says, many might still be left asking, but how do I stop being lazy? And one step is to read a book. It's called Essentialism. It's the Disciplined Pursuit of Less, and it's written by Greg McGowan. It says, the lazy man is the man who feels overwhelmed and inefficient and tries to escape. And what he does is he offers tangible, practical ways of inching out of cycles of efficiency and complacency, because some individuals are just downright disobedient. Because I know, like, with me sitting in this car, and I'm still looking to see where Lisa, I told her I was sitting in the car versus sitting outside because of all of that noise, and I know she likes the water. She gets so mean because she'll tell me, you'll stop when you get ready, or you'll do it when you want to. And a lot of times, like I say, it is a learned behavior, and sometimes individuals become so, we think, we need to rest, we're tired, we get tired of church, we get tired of this. But it's the patience. Sometimes it seems like we just get tired of waiting. And we have to keep on and keep on. I remember Pastor Hammond used to always say, keep on keeping on, you know, and they even made songs like that. But we have to get out of this laziness. We really do. And there's reason why. And like you said, part of it is the blessing. A lot of times we want the blessings that we see other people getting and being on fire for the Lord. So I'm going to let you go with that one, Pastor.
Well, I tell people that we're not in reward yet. We're in work. The definition of work is work. And I explain that to people all the time. And then there's a very important scripture I want to talk about when the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. If we instill good habits in our offspring, in our children, in our progenitors, if we instill good habits in them, then they learn from their childhood not to be lazy. When you look at lazy believers and people who have the lazy characteristics, these are oftentimes people that have been, we might call henpecked, you know, from the south of the country. These are people who were spoiled, that had people doing stuff for them all the time. Oftentimes you'll find people who have very good disposition and will try to use their charisma and charm to have people stuff for them, you know, and the Bible says in Proverbs, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When are you going to get up? When are you going to wake up? Stop it, you know, sleep.
Wow. You know, Pastor, I'm looking at something. If somebody got a TV or something in the background, if you can turn it off, we appreciate it.
It's another,
I can hear the background
another one of the calls.
Well, it got to be me because I'm the only one on here.
No, you're not. We got about three more callers on here, too. They just haven't said anything, but I'm looking at the number.
Okay. Well,
I'm looking at something, and it says laziness now, regrets later. Person uses fear as an excuse, always crying that something bad will happen if they never try. But never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically, and that's in Romans 12:11. And a lot of times, Pastor, we talk about the excuse. We talked about habits, but we gotta break those cycles.
Yeah, we can't be enablers. And what we have to do is I make sure in my house that everyone has a task. I make sure on the job that each employee handles their role. And what happens is that if you allow people to be lazy around you, that can get on you too. And so we have to understand that the Christian life is a productive life. And what we have to understand is that blessings are rewards. And that's what people need to understand. Blessings are rewards. When you come toward God, when it says, when you draw nigh me, I'll draw nigh you, that means that when you do your part, God will do his part. And God is going to always keep his promise. And so everyone that's been blessed in the Bible has been challenged. And the challenge is God wants to see, and this is the first time we're using this word on the call, is that motivation. And so God has given us all, you know, motivation. It determines on how we want to use it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some people have motivation, then they want to use manipulation. And try to get other folks to get to their reward. And that's not going to work, because what happens is that if somebody's doing the work for you, then they're going to reap the rewards. That's the way the Bible has it. You can have people that can instruct you, okay, on how to get to work, and you take that instruction now and you apply the work to that instruction and you learn how to do things better. But if you are just there and you allow people to take their instructions and do the work too, then they're going to reap the blessing. And anybody that's smart and got good sense is not going to give a blessing to a lazy person.
You know, Pastor, now I have a question. What if you feel that you're busy doing a whole lot of other things, but then you're so busy and it seems like you're doing God's work, but you know you're falling short in other areas? What would you say to some of those individuals that are just busy in other areas, but then yet when it comes to Christ, they say, well, I'm not lazy because I do this, 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 and this. So what would you say about being just too busy?
Well, we have to understand there's a difference between being busy and between doing things that are prosperous. And so, you know, a gossip is busy. Okay, Satan is busy. The Bible tells us that he is not lazy at all. And so just by definition, if a person is busy, that is not necessarily going to lead them to reward. What we have to understand is that God wants us to work smarter, okay? And what that means by definition is doing kingdom work. And being busy in kingdom work is more important than being busy in worldly things. And I just got one more thing on that, and we're going to take your question. It's important for people to understand that there's a difference between what God wants us to do and doing the things that we want us to do, and how they line up with Scripture. Okay, and we'll take the question.
Okay. A lazy Christian. I have a person that prays regularly within the congregation, and it goes on and on and on. And I listen because he's highly regarded, and I'm thinking, well, I should pay attention to what he's saying. And I have been. And what I've discovered is he has little sound bites that he repeats every time he prays. It's almost like a script that he has learned.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that meets the description of a lazy person.
Sometimes
they go to teaching too.
Well, what I want.
What you laughing at, Jeanette?
I'm laughing because we have people that repeat the same stuff over again.
Okay.
I go to the altar.
So wanna,
if he's praying, why is he praying so loud for y'all to keep hearing the same scripture, all just praying the same old prayer?
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah,
you can take some things
to
prayer on your own. That's why I'm laughing.
Okay.
Well,
me too. But I'm
reluctant
to laugh. Because I'm thinking that's the way you're supposed to do it. Because I'm a baby.
Yes,
no.
Yes. To answer your question, sir, it's very important for us to know that just as the days change, just as the season change, our request and prayer should change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is Jesus gives parables, and not just that, he gives us stories in the New Testament of how the Pharisees would pray. And there's a difference between religion and relationship. And so a person can be, quote, religious, and set prayers that they pray, and those prayers are going nowhere. And then we
mm-hmm.
can have the believer that has relationship with the Lord and who's crying out to God and praying, and God will hear their prayer. And so, in fact, you know, I've just given the parable that Jesus stated, that the Pharisee was eloquent in his words. He came up there, he threw his hands up, and everybody was looking at him, and he prayed, but God did hear him. But the woman that came in that was poor, that crawled her way up to the altar, but had a prayer that came with a sincere heart, a sincere mind, and cried out her heart unto the Lord, her prayer was heard. Now, in regards to laziness,
Do we have a scripture on that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the scripture for that. And in regards to laziness, which is what we're talking about right now, is that God wants us to be fresh. God wants us to be thoughtful in our prayer. And the prayer is not so much in the structure, it is not so much in the repetitiveness, but it's in the words that comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I want to say, too, Neil, is that some people, like I say, we pray before we go to bed. We pray when we wake up in the morning. Many of us pray when we get in our cars. Sometimes we pray all the time. You know, we just pray. And we need to make sure we have a healthy prayer life and not a lazy prayer life. And we have to make priority, because part of what we're talking about with the laziness is committing and spending time with God. And as we know, a lot of times we talk about spending that time, it's all about relationship. It's not about religion. So when I was laughing, it wasn't a disrespect. I want you to know that.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
I was laughing.
You can't disrespect
me. Yeah, I was laughing because sometimes we see individuals engage in behavior where they're trying to prove or show out and say things, and they become repetitive, and even when we're talking about being on fire with the Lord, and Pastor, you know our little thing with that one, with the lady putting herself on fire in the church, wanting to be on fire for the Lord. So,
yes.
You know, you got a lot of times people want to be busy bees. They want to be all over the place because they say they want to be busy, and there's this an acronym when they say busy. It's like being under Satan's yoke, but by that same token,
yes.
Are you productive? You know, are you effective? Is what you're doing for the edification of the kingdom. So what are your works? Are you letting your light shine? Those are the things that we're talking about, using your gifts, using your talents.
So let me, the scripture is Luke 18, verses 10 through 11, in regards to the Pharisee praying.
Prayer.
And so
okay.
I want to add to that, that we understand that prayer is also in the attitude as well, just as Jeanette was just stating. But in regards to what we're talking about in our lesson, it's important for the believer to understand that, you know, God wants us to be active. And being thoughtful and putting forth a plan before we do things will keep us from being lazy too, because nothing will make you lethargic or more lazy than to go forth in a plan and then put forth effort and then not see results. And we've kind of hit that, you know, touched on it a couple times on this call, but I want to go into it a little bit more thoroughly. When we when we set out a plan and we're seeking something from the Lord, let's go into the scriptures and see how God wants us to go about it His way. And then now let's see how the Lord wants us to partner up with the Holy Spirit, partner up with other strong believers. And then now when we put forth our effort, God wants us to do it in a tangible and intelligent way. And then when we do that, we will see results come. Okay? We can't do things based upon how Sister Watermelon, how Sister Grapefruit, and how Sister, you know, Persimmon wants to do it. Because some things that work for them may not work for us. But the Lord always tells us first to have a plan. And when we have a plan and we do things scripturally according to the Word of God, and we put forth an effort, we're going to be blessed each and every time. I can guarantee you that because the Word says it.
You know, Pastor, Dr. Romaine just got in the car with me. So you have any questions, Dr. Romaine, even though I ditched you in the training today?
I don't have any questions, but I did want to say thank you for allowing me to be on the call. As I was listening to the caller and also what the pastor and you were just sharing, the scripture just popped up for me, and I don't know if you guys had touched on this, but it's Proverbs 10:4, and it says, laziness leads to poverty. Hard work makes you rich. And when we think about poverty, we can think about poverty in the spirit. And when we're thinking about, you know, makes you rich, it makes you rich not just in monetary ways, but rich in your spiritual growth, rich in your family relationships, work relationships. And so when we get lazy, just like when we are in our day-to-day intimate relationships, we don't put in as much effort. And when we don't, we drift away from one another. And so it's just like with our spiritual growth. We have to put in some effort in order to get back some of the wealth that we are expecting, not just for us, but to connect with other people. And so I know oftentimes reading the Word doesn't seem relevant, and it might seem incredibly boring, but I would just, you know, encourage people to think about who you are connecting yourselves with, because iron sharpens iron. I find the book of James and Proverbs and Psalms to be very relevant and practical in a real-world way. Not that all the other books aren't, but if you are looking for something that makes sense, make certain that you are investing the time in reading your Word, even if it's just one scripture to hold on to. Make certain that you have other people that are pouring into your spirit that can help make the Word come to life. And then also get you some songs, some worship songs that help to really kind of sentiment those factors, because laziness can lead to spiritual depletion, and it will bleed throughout every aspect of your life. You won't be as productive as a husband or a wife, a mother, a daughter, or any other role that you have in your life. And that's what I'd like to just leave with the college today.
You know, I wanted to say two things. One was praise and worship, and another thing that popped up in my spirit, my mother used to always say, is the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Or, you know, because when we idle our mind and we become lazy and stagnant, we wind up in trouble too. So, Pastor, I'm going to let you finish, because we sitting in this hot car and I'm hungry.
It's very important what she said, but the most important thing that she brought out, and we had covered that scripture early, is to looking at the whole man or the whole woman in regards to this Christian life. It can be a very, very prosperous life. And what we have to understand that is that there's many sides to this life, or many facets, if you will. And so much as I always like to say, God is never up to one thing. He's up to many things. And so when we make one aspect of our life rich in a biblical fashion using biblical principles, it incorporates itself into other parts of our life and makes us well-rounded believers. And I want to add to that because we have – Jeanette knows I talk about this a lot because I'm really into the whole man. And so we want to be rich mentally, spiritually. We want to be rich financially, and we don't aspire to opulence, okay? But we also need to understand that we need to be rich in health also, because you can have all of those things and then have poor health because we're lazy in the natural body. We're lazy when it comes to doing things that are going to bless us to actually be productive, okay? And so I look at that scripture and I'm looking at, you know, the man as a whole. And when we are sound on all sides, we can do more for the kingdom of God. But the most important thing that we want to inspire people today from this topic is being like Jesus and how much the Lord really hates this subject. Just as much as he hates sin, he hates the slugger. He hates the lazy person. As we talked about in our introduction, he even calls them wicked. And when I hear words like that, that motivates me in a different way to make sure that I'm not in that way. But there's a difference between rest and being lazy. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between taking a break and being a sluggard. And so that's what we understand. And then we can look at our results and then have no one to blame for ourselves. Now, Jeanette, you brought this point out, is that take out all the excuses. Remember when you brought that up earlier in the show? We can use so many other people. We can use so many other people as excuses for the reason why we're not there. And what we have to do is take our eyes off them as our example and put our eyes on Christ. Jesus was moving. Jesus was about. Jesus was praying. Mm-hmm. Jesus was making an effort to make friends, to go before the people. And he said a number of times in the New Testament during his earthly ministry, I must be about my Father's business. That is definitely not a description of being lazy. What are you? I'm about my Father's business. Even when his mother and father was looking for him, and Jesus said, don't you know, I'm about my Father's business. And so even from that time all the way through, he was about his Father's business. I want to, on the last point, also bring up the point about busyness that you talked about, Jeanette. This Facebook thing, this social media thing is making so many people lazy because we're getting caught up in fake news and drama, and we hear stuff that tickle our ears. And the word that I'm looking for is distraction. And so we have to be careful of that because the enemy is using distraction right now to bring slumber upon us, to close our eyes, to take us away, and you find yourself being lazy. How many believers do you hear, Jeanette, who are telling you that I'm on a marathon? I've been watching this show. I've seen all of these shows. They turn on Netflix, the next thing you know, you watch the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody testify? Okay.
I did that one on Being Mary Jane. So
come on.
I know I've done it.
and so what these things do, they're distractions through technology, and they will cloud our vision, and they'll take us away from doing things that are important. And so we're just coming back and hitting some of the points as a matter of review as we close this lesson out. And so we have to understand that it's the enemy's job to bring about distraction to cause us to be lazy also. And so when we see these things, as we're closing out, as we see these things, we repent and we ask the Lord to bless us to do better. And then as we know better, we do better. And then we ask the Lord to renew our vision for us. write the vision, make it plain, and then now go and run after it.
And one of the things, Pastor, and I'm going to let you close it out, but putting God first, we know when spending time with him, it's not always going to be easy, and it ain't supposed to be, but it's the discipline. It's breaking those habits, creating new habits, and better habits that's going to help us and be able to also be able to help others. So, Pastor, how can they find you if they're interested in connecting with you? Let's give them that information, and we can end
the
show.
Praise the Lord.
With that.
Praise the Lord. We are located in the beautiful city of San Marcos, the High Dominion Worship Center. We're at 800 West Mission Road in San Marcos. You can reach us online at hdwc.life. You can leave your information there. We will contact you. You can get more information on the church there. We have an incredibly powerful, impactful Bible study on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. It's the Hour of Power. But you'll be instilled with powerful information from the Lord. And we worship on Sundays at 12:30. And everyone is welcome to come and join us. God bless us. God bless you. And I hope you enjoyed the show.
I want to say this too, Pastor. Tell Maria when she posting your stuff on Facebook, make sure we can share it. Because I don't know how to share it to my radio page. Because in that way they can see you preach versus hearing you on the radio, because when you in the spirit, it's a whole different gamma than when you're talking on the radio. But I'm not able to put it on there because I don't, you know, it's not able to be shared. So if I can get her to do that, that will definitely help. And then people can connect and they
depends.
Can see you preaching.
Yeah, it just depends on the type of connection that you have at the time, because some of them have it where you have to enable the sound. And down in the right corner, I know what you're talking about, is a little icon that you click that'll turn on the sound. So try that.
Not
time.
The sound, but sharing it. It's sharing the information to where I can share it, where I can share it. Sometimes you can post things and you can share other people's stuff, but it's not able to be shared. You can comment, but you can't share it. But if she can post it to the page with the Blog Talk Radio,
right, where she's an administrator,
the page, and then that way they can see you preaching. And some of the things
I
that she's recording.
I understand what you're saying now. Right.
So
she's sharing it.
Put a face correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
I know how to fix that. She's sharing it on her personal and sharing it through the administrator page. So we'll fix that.
Correct.
Too.
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
God bless you.
And Pastor, what's the topic for next week?
You always get me with this. We will get back to you on that one, unless you have a topic.
Okay, until next week, remember you got this, and I guess we will be coming up with a topic.
Well,
and remember, you got this. Let me get ready because I got to go back in this training because I'm going to be late from coming back from lunch. I'm going to look like I'm being lazy.
God
bless
you. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.